If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Times we had won't run away. So close to you, take what you can. Hold to your heart, time in time. If only we could turn from the show and see each other clearly. Imagine how far we could go, more than my words can say. Is it a dream round and around? Looking at you harder to hear. Don't want to drive you away. If only we could turn from the show and see each other clearly. Imagine how far we could go, more than my words can say. Over the hill, so far away, vowed to be yours. Hope it will be evermore. If only we could turn from the show and see each other clearly. Imagine how far we could go, more than my words can say.
Listening to If Only from Yonder Mountain String Band's latest release, Get Yourself Outside, available now wherever you stream and buy music. Get Yourself Outside is Yonder Mountain String Band's latest release, their first since 2017's Love Ain't Love. Since that time, there has been a personnel change, a global pandemic, and a coming of age for a band that has been at the bluegrass jamgrass thing for over two decades. I caught up with Adam Ajayla and newest member Nick Piccinini to talk about the new record and more. This album, Get Yourself Outside, which is the new album from Yonder Mountain String Band, which if you haven't heard it yet, you definitely need to. This album, though, Adam, could have easily been called Up This Hill, I think, given that it's a song on the record and it sort of has the feel, or at least lyrically, of what this band has probably gone through in the last couple of years.
You can make connections with a lot of the songs. The funny thing in that line, along that same line, we find connections between songs that were written, you know, not without any regard to the next on the album. And it seems like you can find connections with things like that all the time, with the lyrics or a hidden meaning or a literal meaning. And I think that also applies to the album title as well. I don't even remember. Let me see if I have my list of contentions as far as what the album names were. We may have. I think I remember making a list of songs. I could have just texted them though, which means they're in the text chain.
How did you come up with Get Yourself Outside? Is it because seemingly this pandemic is over now and it's time to?
Yeah, I mean it's a lyric from Suburban Girl, the right. last song on the track. I think it's kind of like multi-meaning, you know, in regards to the song, it has its own meaning, yeah. you know, in regards to the pandemic, it has a meaning. And then it also has a general meaning of like, hey, should be outside more, you know, like my parents would yell at me in the summer.
Totally.
What are you doing in the house? Get out of here.
This band over the 25 years has gone through changes. Whether they were foisted upon you or just happenstance. And I'm curious now to get your take, Adam, on the music maturation, the musical maturation of this band, because it's ever evolving, I think. And on this record, more than any of the records in the past couple, you seem to be branching out a lot more. Outside of the very narrow window that bluegrass affords itself.
I think a lot of it, you know, Nick is heavily portrayed, showcased on the record. And I think that that's part of the reason it might sound a little different from the last two. I mean, obviously we have right. a singer for starters that's never sang on a Yonder album before. And the songwriting as well, you know, we wrote together, but a lot of the basic ideas that Nick brought were we ended up using. So it was his ideas as well, musically. So he's a multi-instrumentalist. And, you know, so I think that, you know, that is the biggest factor in the sound difference, if you ask me, because you got a whole new vibe. And you know, but still, as far as going back through all our records and as it evolves, the sound evolved over time, it was just, I don't know if maturation's the word, but you know, there was an evolution for sure. Yeah. Cause like, you know, I think our first album has some of the best songs we've ever written, but I don't think we've gotten worse. I just think that they've changed. And, you know, I think as far as our paying attention to, meaning, not so much meaning, paying attention to the words we choose is a lot more important to us now. And at least to me, it is. When I come up with ideas, a lot of time my lyrics are garbage but I know it and I don't care. I just want something to sing instead of la, 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 hey, hey, hey. And so a lot of times it comes out and there's just a lot of cliches and cheesy stuff that I know will get changed and, you know, or hopefully get changed, you know? And so, but yeah, I probably can talk to Nick as far as, you know, and more specific about the new record and stuff he brought to the table and the new sound and all.
Yeah. Before we get there, you're right. It's not maturation. That was the wrong word. It is evolution. It's an evolving sound. Yeah. It's bad. It was dumb. And I'll own that. But I will say this, like, you know, you get put in, I think it was on iTunes maybe, that you get put in the Americana bucket. Like it's sort of silly to me that you are, for all intents and purposes, a bluegrass band that has an evolving sound. And I guess Americana is just a way to put you somewhere so that, you know, you have a place that isn't traditional bluegrass.
I think Americana is as broad of a genre as rock is.
Yeah.
You know, because you figure like, I used to always think it was funny that the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, and Pink Floyd were the same style of music, because, right. or at least they categorized it all as rock. Like they don't sound, they're three British bands. That's the only thing in common. They don't sound anything alike. And so I think Americana can also be, you know, to one end of the spectrum could be like almost traditional bluegrass. I mean, I'd almost include traditional bluegrass in Americana.
Sure.
All the way up through, like, you know, well, I mean, even Dave Matthews Band is considered Americana.
Right.
So,
right. Right.
So you kind of have everything in between. So it's like a rock. It's almost like soft, like
soft rock. Dave, don't
Matthews,
say that.
I don't want to say soft rock because Dave Matthews isn't soft rock, but it's not hard rock.
Right. Right.
So it's like that spectrum of rock all the way to like just microphones.
Basically, an acoustic guitar means you're in the, you have the proclivity to be in the Americana music.
Yeah. And even country, some country crosses over. Right. I mean, like Zach Brown can be American.
Chris Stapleton probably a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. Well, Nick, it's a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for your contribution to this band that we've been listening to for a long time. First, what's it like joining a band that has been at it together for so long?
I mean, it's scary. That's the thing that comes to mind. It's definitely an undertaking, and it's kind of a heavy thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, you're either going to do it or you're not, right? You're either going to man up and do your best or just don't take the gig, you know, but it's definitely scary for sure.
When you say scary, is it because of the legacy of the band? Is it because you've sort of stepped into a spot once occupied by a beloved member of the bluegrass and jam band community? What about it has been sort of daunting for you?
I mean, yes, it's you just said, like, yeah, it's definitely like the feeling of trying to fill shoes, but then knowing that you can't, you know, and having to just kind of somehow find your own way to fit into what's already existed. And then, like, yeah, just not knowing how you're going to be accepted by the fans, you know, I mean, it's a tough thing. People listen to a sound for 20 something years, and then that sound starts evolving and changing more, you know, some people aren't going to like it. And that can be scary too, because it's, you know, musicians, we like to be liked.
Yeah. You know? Was there any hesitation from your end, Adam, in welcoming Nick? And I mean, he plays everything. So that's got to be maybe a load off of your hands a little bit. But is it good to have somebody who's, you know, multifunctional in that way and can step in and do so many different things aside from just playing the mandolin in that spot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't see how it could have a negative side, you know, unless he was horrible at all the instruments he said he could play. But, it, you know, it's, I think the biggest asset is the energy that he brings on stage, as well as vocals. Music is great, but you can always find great musicians, you know? So the best is... The biggest asset is the song off stage is the song writing, and the hang. I mean, he's a good dude, but the on stage, yeah, he has to get drunk first. No, just kidding. the on stage stuff is, you know, it makes it, it. He brings a new energy and it is infectious to the rest of the band and the crowd. You know, I feel like it's good to doing it for as long as we have. It definitely is a shot in the arm that we needed, not COVID related.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about COVID, because it obviously has had an impact on the band and the songwriting process. So you have a new member in the band, there's the pandemic, and you still found time to figure out a way to write some new music and record an album during all of this craziness. What made you decide to sort of get together and do this, and how difficult was it given that you were sort of separated for so long?
I think we were historically kind of a lazy band when it came to studio stuff. I mean, we've been a band how many years? I don't even know how many studio albums we have, but I don't even think it's 10. Either way, we went, you know, we'd go years without records, you know, and, you know, we used to joke back in the day that, you know, we're going to do the opposite of the Beatles. We're not going to do records. We're just going to play music all the time, right, live. I think we made the time, you know, so basically we were like, we're sitting at home. We did these videos. I don't know if you saw any of those.
Yep.
That we did on YouTube where we, you know, just figure out what songs we want to do and just have something to post because we live in four different time zones. Mm-hmm. So we're all over the place. We did it kind of like this Zoom style where everyone's in a little box. And so it was during that time that I, you know, we've had Dave and I live, you know, not even 2 miles apart. And so we have written together a lot over the years. Ben used to be in Colorado. He's in California. Allie's in St. Louis. Nick's in upstate New York. So not really possible to get together. And then with the pandemic, definitely not possible. So we just said, I started, made some folders online that people could upload ideas to. And we all kind of listened, and then not a whole lot of an agenda before each Zoom meeting that we'd schedule, but just maybe like the idea that, I really like that one you showed me last time. Why don't we start working on that one and maybe check out this one too? And that's kind of how the record was written. And, you know, we started early December, late November, maybe of 2020. And we were working on pre-production by January. So, and then we first studio sessions were April.
Right. So by the time you entered Cinder Sound, you had these ideas demoed, pretty much mapped out. I mean,
first time we ever did pre-production,
right,
as a band. And so there was less writing in the studio. Obviously with people in there and with John McVay, the engineer/producer, things changed a little bit, but we had a game plan way, way more advanced and far along than any record we'd done previously. And it made it, we were pretty efficient, and it made it so we could goof around with stuff a little bit more than normally, where we're just like, oh shit, we got how many days left? You know, we better record, you know?
Did Nick bring that discipline, or was it a discipline foisted again upon you because of the circumstance?
It wasn't me.
It wasn't. Pre-production was because we had experience with the way we did these videos. Was say it was a song Nick wrote, he would send the mandolin part and his voice and send it to me, and then I'd play guitar over it. And if I sang harmony, I'd sing my harmony part. If I had a solo, I'd put that in, send it to Ben, and then Ben would do the bass, and then send it to Allie and Nick, and Dave. And then, so would go like that. Generally speaking, if it was a song that Nick, myself, or Ben sang, it would start with us. And if it was one, Allie sings one track, yeah, and Dave sings a few, those would start. I usually just put a rhythm track to guitar first and then send it around, just so there was something to rhythmically to hold. That's the way we did all those videos. And so we did it the same idea. There were some gaps. Like if I go back and listen to those, there's some sections that don't have solos, but we knew there was going to be a solo there. But for the most part, all the harmonies were done. The lyrics got changed a tiny bit in the studio, but not a whole lot. I think that's something we'll probably just release for free down the road, just as a download or something. The pre-production stuff, because it came out pretty good. You know, not like sonically, it sounds way better in John's studio, mm-hmm, but the tones are all good, you know.
I assume that there was more stuff. I mean, there's only 13 or 14 tracks on this record. Was there stuff that had to be cut out? 11 tracks on the record. Was there stuff that had to be cut out? Is there stuff that's a quote unquote B-side somewhere, or is this the meat and potatoes of what you guys sort of worked on during pre-production and the months going into pre-production?
Well, in 2019 and 2020, we had two EPs,
right,
that we never released. So we did have other material, but we wanted all fresh stuff. And so we were thinking about maybe putting some of those songs, re-recording them even. You know, we did have Nick, because we did some stuff with Jake. We did have Nick re-record some parts over the stuff that we had done with Nick, with Jake. And so, but then there's some songs that I still want to possibly, I would like to re-record, even though we have those demos and they weren't even demos. They were going to be released. I mean, I just think that we're a better band now than we were then. And, you know, even insofar as, you know, the stuff Nick did with us, I think we're more cohesive now, and I think we'd do a better job. So these were all the brand new songs and we wanted to go that route. Obviously everybody has ideas. We didn't hash out everything.
Yeah.
But as far as the pre-production, those 11 songs were that was it.
I want to ask you about a couple of the songs on the record, obviously. If Only is a song that you wrote, correct?
Yeah. And we wrote them all together, yeah, but right, like as far as the basic idea, yeah.
Do you, when you're sitting in a room alone and strumming a guitar and coming up with a melody or even lyrics to go with that melody, do you hear all the other instruments too? Is that second nature to you at this point? Or is it something that, again, when you hear the other people layering on their parts, you're like, yes, that sounds exactly like what I was going for. I didn't know that at the time. Or is it something else entirely?
As far as the configuration with the band, as far as the instrumentation, I generally hear everything. Fiddle is one that is less inclined to hear, because I'm still trying to figure out. I don't really know rhythmically a lot of times what the fiddle should do, because it doesn't need a chop if you have the mandolin. And sometimes, you know, things like double stops and long notes or short notes, like I don't hear it as well, but in the same way that I might have an idea of how I want the other instruments to go, I don't say it unless I need to, because a lot of times what Nick or Dave or Ben will play won't be exactly what I was thinking, but I like it, and I'd rather have them put their stamp on it than if it's something that I definitely didn't hear. Like sometimes in the past, there's been stuff where the mandolin shop, I'm not saying that it was Nick, but that it wasn't what I was looking for. It was, you know, something minor, but enough that it changes the rhythm enough, in the same way that a drum beat can completely change the feel of a song, you know?
Yeah.
A lot, you know, it ends up being a bluegrass rhythm oftentimes, you know. We have a few tracks on there that aren't like that, but
we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon.
One song.
Yeah.
Or two. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could talk about it now. Broken Records is an R&B tune. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, it's an R&B tune, and it's a great, great tune and a great surprise for somebody who loves music as much as I do. And I was listening to the record. It's certainly a turn. I don't have the liner notes, but who wrote that tune and how did it come about?
That's Ben. So Ben sings it. We helped him write it. He's notorious for a lot of chords in his song. And if he was on this Zoom, I would still say it. but it is, there's a whole hell of a lot of chords on it. But he comes from a big band jazz background. His dad was into that stuff, so it's kind of ingrained into him. I think he worked on, that was probably one of the only ones that there was more of an idea before the pandemic hit.
Oh, wow.
But even still, it wasn't hashed out. He had to finish lyrics and we helped him with those and obviously the format of the song, but he did have that basically, I don't want to sing about it. Like that whole thing he had, that goes back a ways, but it was just an idea at the time. It wasn't a song yet. But everything else was literally written after the pandemic started, you know? I know Dave's original version of Suburban Girl doesn't even sound, it's not even the same song. It's crazy. And that preceded the pandemic, but he changed all the words. There's like maybe one or two lines. The whole feel of the song is completely different. It's cool, but songs evolve. Like if you're in a rush to write and release or perform songs, There's something to be said for letting them sit and rest, because they can evolve. They might become nothing if you let them sit too long. Ben and I have a song like 20 years old that's not done. So, but I want to finish it. I really like it. It's just every time we go to work on it, we're like, yeah, we need, you know, and I'll always, we'll do it when we're doing a session. I'll be like, yeah, we got to revisit that. And he's like, yeah, totally. And then no.
I believe Into the Fire is a Nick contribution. Do I have that right? Initially,
yeah, it started out as an idea I had for sure, and then these guys basically wrote the words.
Like, does it need? I sort of asked this tongue in cheek, but Out of the Pan is the previous song. Could those two songs not have been? I'm sure live they'll be molded together. Could the two tracks not have been molded together on the record, or was there a reason why this instrumental tune needed to stand alone, at least on the record?
They could have, but honestly, they were written around the same time. And when I was writing the instrumental too, Adam originally was like, he wanted to put words to it. He thought it would make a good, like we could do something to turn it into a lyrical thing. And it just never really happened. So I don't know. I think it was just the fact that those two developed together. They were in the same key. I don't know, you know, that's.
I think also because of the brevity of it, it's not a very long instrumental.
Right.
To have something to go right into after.
Yep.
And to do it live on stage, I don't know that we just do it by itself. And if we, without Into the Fire, and if we did, we would go right into something else if it wasn't Into the Fire.
Right.
Right.
Because it's short. I mean, it's like just over 2 minutes, I think.
Or yeah. Well, Into like the Fire isn't much longer. That's why I think that they make an obvious pairing. I mean, aside right. from the fact that you hear them side by side on the record. It's
212 and then Into the Fire is 239.
Yeah. Which put together is what most of the songs on this record kind of are at. Nick, how was it writing with new people or coming up with ideas with new people, people that you may have listened to, you may have met along the way, but not necessarily have gigged with? How was it coming up with music for the band?
Well, it was actually, strangely enough, it was my first co-writing experience. I'd only ever really written on my own. And I think it was really eye-opening for me, and I learned a lot through it. It's really, you know, it is for the better, because when you do stuff on your own, I mean, if you're not really experienced, how are you going to know? You have no perspective, really. You're too close to it. And it, honestly, like when I look back at things I wrote a year ago, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I thought that was good at any time. But so having people weighing in real time, you know, and telling you like that, don't like that. What if you said this? That was really cool. It was kind of like, well, why'd I wait so long to co-write? You know, it was a good experience. And these guys are so chill about it, and they don't leave me feeling like I completely suck, you know.
Shit, I hope not.
Yeah, exactly. You guys made the wrong choice. Yeah. What's next? I mean, this record's out. Obviously, we're hyped and excited about it. You go on tour. Is the plan to be out as long as you can, because you've been cooped up for so long? Is that the plan moving forward? I mean, you have dates, you know, well into the summer. Is that the plan, to be out as much as you possibly can because you've been inside?
Well, there's a balance here, because three of the five of us have kids. Nick, the two of us on the call do not. Right. I mean, my wife's kids are old, so they're not in the house. And so, but it's, so that they don't want to be gone as long. They want to, you know, everyone wants to be out. I mean, I guess Dave's still willing to go out as much as possible, but you know, Ben and Allie's got a really little kid,
right. A couple years old,
four this year, I think. Five? No, four.
I think he's four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's, I'm of the mind that I have that mindset. I'd rather crank it out. I'd rather be busy all summer, yeah, and have a, and not have to do bus tours, or not as many and not as long. because I'd rather be outside. And you get more bang for your buck with festivals and clubs, you know, and it's festivals are actually more fun as well. I think not that club, I've had so much fun in clubs, but I love playing outside as something. I just prefer it, you know, not even before the pandemic,
right.
I'd rather be outside anyway. And so there's, we still have some dates to fill. Stuff's still popping up as far as this summer, but yeah, we're trying to stay busy. It's always been the balance. I think part of the reason we, especially in the early days, the reason we didn't break up was because we valued our time at home. We ended up leaving, I've said this before, we ended up leaving quite a bit of money on the table back when we could make our own schedule. Now we kind of have to go with what's available.
Yeah.
But back in the day, we could just go, no, we're not touring this week. We're not, or this, these 2 weeks, we're not doing, I don't care. You know, oh, well, there's this gig for this and this festival, but no, we're home. We had the ability to make that call. You know, with back then though, literally we were one of the only bands plugged in playing bluegrass. So we were sought after and it was easy. Now there's 100 bands. So, and we're old. Well, I'm old. Nick's not.
It must sort of, to that point, it must sort of feel rewarding to see the likes of the Kitchen Dwellers or even Billy Strings, all of these guys sort of being passed the torch from you and Dusters and Green Sky. Yeah.
I always think too, like I've been influenced by bands that people say like, oh, you, or like the bands that influenced me into ended up, or even stuff that my playing ended up being influenced or ended up coming through Yonder Mountain. I don't, you know, cause you could be in a band now that we're like two or three bands removed at this point, been around so long. So yeah. There could be a band that's starting now that never even listened to Yonder Mountain, but the two bands that they're influenced by, even the first band they were influenced by didn't listen to us, but the one before that listened to us.
Right.
Cause we're 20 something years old now. So there is a passing of torch, but I don't know if it's as direct anymore. I've had people like that are adults come up to me and be like, my parents love you guys, you know? So, you know, it is cool that it's grown, that the scene's grown.
Yeah.
Granted, you could argue that, and I would argue that bands like String Cheese and Leftover Salmon specifically, made it possible for us to even have the balls to go out sure. and do what we do in leave Colorado. You know, I mean, Vince Herman was instrumental in the beginning helping us, you know, he talked to High Sierra and was like, you gotta hire these guys, you know, they're great. And then once we got in there, we were the fringe band. We didn't fit into bluegrass festivals. So people wanted us there for something different. We didn't fit into jam band festivals because we were literally the only band without drums.
Right.
So we got into all the jam band festivals. So we could do, it was just like, you guys want to do this? I mean, granted the money back then wasn't great, but we got as much gigs as we wanted and we took them. We were young, you know?
It seems like you can still do that. Obviously you're still very well liked by the jam band community. And for obvious reasons, you're still, you know, you're playing things like the Charleston Bluegrass Festival in March. I mean, you're still very much a part of what goes on in the bluegrass community as well.
Where are you located?
I'm in Toronto.
Oh, wow. Cool. I like that town.
Yeah. Well, you guys were up here, I think like 4 or 5 years ago, you played Lee's Palace was the last time you were here. I remember.
Yeah, that's a misnomer.
It was funny because you were here twice in like a span of a year and a half. Like it was very close,
yeah.
Closely tied together. I remember seeing you at both shows. So
I want to come back. I do like that city a lot.
Yeah. It's can't play outside right now. It's like minus 10 Celsius and there's snow on the ground. So it feels more like Colorado than Toronto right now.
I don't know if Nick, are you allowed in Canada or?
I think these days I could probably go back.
He's in upstate New York. He's, you know, just a lake away. Like we can throw rocks.
I got in some trouble in Canada. Not trouble, just for playing music, really.
Oh, all right. Where are you in upstate New York?
Playing music.
I'm an hour east of Syracuse.
Oh, so you're not far at all.
No, just, it takes a couple hours to get to Canada.
Yeah, so. That's great. Guys, thanks so much for this record. It's a lot of fun. Nick, you are a breath of fresh air. It's certainly noticed on the record. Thanks for taking the time, and congratulations on getting a great record out during the pandemic, and continued success, and have fun on tour.
Cool, man. Thanks, Ira. I appreciate it.
Find Yonder Mountain out on the road for a bunch of dates this winter into the spring. For details, visit yondermountain.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Get Yourself Outside. Here is Into the Fire.
Give you my heart and most of my soul. Looking for light in a love gone cold. So why am I lonely, left high and dry? I give you the world and you'd ask for my pride. It's out of the pan and into the fire. Wells at bottom, flames get high. When the smoke clears and ashes fall. Get my heart talking to this head of mine. Write it down plain, easy to read. We're all borrowed time, babe, I'm begging you please. It's out of the pan and into the fire. Wells at bottom, flames get high. When the smoke clears and ashes fall.
Been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.